Your Steve Jones Show podcast will start shortly. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Brewers Outlet, your beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury.
This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK, sponsored by Brewers Outlet. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Yes, it is Brewers Outlet Day. Stock up for the weekend right now at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, the best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drinks, snacks, lots and lots of snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. Six great flavors of slushies, pickle bar, led by the barrels and the dills, indeed second to none. It is all at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Stock up for the weekend. There's going to be a lot of sports going on this weekend. Conference championship games, Eagles, Niners. You want to make sure you are fully prepared for the weekend. Go to Brewers Outlet right now and get it done. It's all at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. And we're in the Sunbury Motors studio, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, online at sunburymotors.com. Zach Showers on the show today. We'll preview Sealands Grove, Aliquippa. He'll join us at 2:15. King at 2:30. Your calls, always appreciated. Calls are always appreciated. All right. So let's get to, it's not official yet. Penn State has not put out a release, but everybody knows what the story is. So I'll at least comment on the story, because I'm obviously in a spot where I need them to release it, then I can legitimately talk about it. But I'll at least talk about the candidate, Andy Koltynicki, who is the offensive coordinator at Kansas. He is still listed on the Kansas website as our offensive coordinator. His name has not been scrubbed, anything like that. Various outlets are reporting he's going to be the offensive coordinator at Penn State. The irony is that in getting ready for the Penn State-Illinois game, I only watched one tape. It was a full game. It was Illinois against Kansas. And Daniels only played quarterback three games for Kansas this year. He's really a difference-making quarterback. Bean, the other player, played the rest of the time. Well, in this game, I remember Jack and I talking on the phone on Monday after that game, because now Illinois is going to be next. And the two of us kept raving about the Kansas quarterback, Daniels, and kept raving about the Kansas offensive mix. They had Illinois, especially with the two outstanding defensive linemen, Newton, who ended up being the defensive lineman of the year in the Big Ten, and Randolph. They were completely off balance against this team. And it was the mix of the pass with the run, with the RPO, with the drop back, a variety of other things he put in. He was always on the attack. It was always going forward, going forward, going forward. And that's what the two of us were impressed about. And then later in the year, and it's just out of happenstance, I'm watching Kansas play Kansas State. Now, Kansas State won the game, but the same thing. This time with being a quarterback. Yeah. Attack, 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 a wide variety of plays. I know that he is the kind of guy that studies big plays from other teams. He will get, you know, one of his requests to the video people is to give me cuts of every big play that happened in college football this weekend and in the NFL. I want to see them all. In other words, he wants to see why it happened, how it was drawn up, and whether it's something based on his personnel he can use. So he's that kind of thinker. He has coached a couple of times in Beaver Stadium as an offensive coordinator. He was at Buffalo at the time. And I remember we were impressed going into the game by the Buffalo offense and impressed after the game by the Buffalo offense. Now, did we mention it by name? No. Did not. Because Lance Leipold was the coach. We talked about, you know, being the head coach. He's the name we kept mentioning. But should this come to fruition and is released by Penn State, that would be the kind of guy they are getting. That can work with a Drew Aller, can work with a Bo Prabula, because he has that kind of repertoire in the offense that he puts together that can handle two different styles of quarterback. And he draws up a lot of stuff that leads to big plays. And the two Kansas games I watched this year, one with great intent, that was the Illinois game. The other one with casual intent, that was the Kansas State game. Impressive. And let's face it, I mean, they beat Texas last year at Texas 57-56. Why do you think they got the 57 points? That's impressive. Very impressive. So they have not announced it officially. And so I'm just talking about, quote, the candidate. But, yeah. That's the name that's been brought up. That's what he would bring to the table. But that's the report, that he's the one they expected to be announced, but he has not been officially announced. So just, you know, that's why we're just kind of laying it low here and at least talking about the candidate and the kind of individual as to what he brings to the table. Conference championship games this weekend. Starts tonight, and it's going to be one where you can just kick back and enjoy. Because it is Oregon and Washington. It is the true definition of a playoff game that is not officially a playoff game. The winner is in the college football playoff, and the loser is out. And that's as simple as it gets. Those are the kinds of games with stakes that people love. Games with stakes. And that game is in Las Vegas tonight. First time Washington rallied at home, beat Oregon. This time, and you know, you look at the you look at what Vegas is saying. Vegas is saying they're a 9-point favorite on a neutral field. That's a lot of confidence. In Oregon, which played, by the way, great football down the stretch. I was listening to a group do picks this morning, which eventually we'll do in the final half hour here. I was listening to a group do picks this morning. And they started out with Alabama and Georgia, and they're talking about that going back and forth. Then he says, now here's the second one. I said, do we even need to talk about this? Michigan and Iowa. And everybody says, no. No. There you go. Perfect. Sort of summed it up. So this is what you have. And you've got New Mexico State against Liberty on CBS Sportsnet tonight at 7. Liberty is 12-0. But let's give New Mexico State credit. I mean, they beat Auburn, which we all know. People forget in week zero, they lost to UMass and still ended up with a 10-3 record. And Jamie Chadwell doing a great job. I mean, that's Jerry Kill of New Mexico State. Jamie Chadwell's doing a great job at Liberty, picking up where Hugh Freeze left off. He's got a heck of a quarterback in Caden Salter. Washington, Oregon tonight, 8 o'clock. That is on ABC, by the way. And Oregon is a 9. By the way, Liberty's 10.5-point favorite. Oregon is a 9.5-point favorite. In the six games since the Washington game, the Oregon defense has allowed just 16 points per game. Tomorrow at noon on ABC, Texas against Oklahoma State. Texas is a 14.5-point favorite. They'll play in Arlington. Texas played a great game against Texas Tech. Oklahoma State beat Oklahoma back on November 4th. Then they got blown up by UCF and then barely survived against Houston and BYU. The MAC championship is going to be Saturday at noon at Ford Field. Miami of Ohio, Toledo. Toledo's a 7.5-point favorite. Toledo, 11-1 on the year. They went to Amherst, beat UMass. These are all games that I end up watching some of. That's why I mentioned it. So it's really the, I think I saw Toledo play one other time in a MACtion game. That was about it. Now, the first time, I mean, they had played. Toledo beat Miami at Miami 21-17. And I watched that game. Toledo's a 7.5-point favorite. UNLV and Boise State. That's on Fox in the Mountain West Championship. UNLV is a 2.5-point favorite. It's at Allegiant Stadium. So let's face it, UNLV is the home team. And Andy Avalos was fired, and Boise still got to this championship game. Georgia-Alabama, Mercedes-Benz Dome, Atlanta. Georgia's a 5.5-point favorite. Georgia's run defense, okay, not among their best. And let's face it, Alabama runs it. And then Jalen Milroe runs it. And then when he does throw it, he wants to go deep. On ABC tomorrow, SMU and Tulane. Tulane's a 3.5-point favorite. Unfortunately for SMU, their odds of winning this game have gone down because their starting quarterback, Preston Stone, who's really good, by the way, broke his leg against Navy last week. And SMU have been rolling. But the Stone injury, that's the crusher. Kevin Jennings is going to be their starting quarterback. And that's, you know, this... the idea of SMU winning with Preston Stone, I think SMU, to me, was going to be the team that was going to win this game. Now without Stone, that's a big problem. Sun Belt title game, yeah, that's the American championship game, by the way. The American Athletic Conference. Sun Belt championship game, Appalachian State, Troy. Troy's really good, by the way. We know Appalachian State is really good, too. Troy's a 6.5-point favorite, and Appalachian State has rallied. Remember, at one point through seven games, they were 3-4. They won their last five games, and the biggest one was against James Madison. Troy, though, has won 9 in a row, and their defense is among the top 15 in the country. And that game is on ESPN. The night games, Florida State, Louisville. Florida State's still a 2.5-point favorite, despite the fact Jordan Travis is out. People forget, with the situation at quarterback, that the Florida State defense is among the top 15 in the country. Jeff Brohm always coaches great offense. And they're two, and Florida State's a 2.5-point favorite. Michigan is a 22.5-point favorite. So they, you know, there you go. I don't really say there's much to say about that. I think Michigan will shut them out. And then next Saturday, the 9th, 3 in the afternoon, it's Army-Navy in Foxborough. Right now, Army's a 2-point favorite. And Brian Newberry, his first season at Navy, they've been up and down. And Jeff Monken always does a great job with Army. Always does. But that's a week from Saturday. Take a break. Come back with more in a moment. Great to have you with us today. Brought to you by Brewers Outlet here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. All right. Today's show brought to you by our good friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Next half, let's see, in the next half hour, more talk about the conference championship games. Then Zach Showers at 2:15 on Selins Grove and their state semifinal game. You looked at the bracket and said, you know what, state semifinals look like it's like was the minimum. Just looking at the bracket. Well, they've done exactly what they're supposed to do, but now life gets a little more serious. And the state semifinal, and this time it's against a team that's got a lot to it. But it's not like Selins Grove doesn't have a lot to it. And you have two at this point, when you get to the semifinals, both teams have confidence. They both have confidence. Selins Grove has a lot of confidence right now. And that is the game coming up tonight for the right to go to the state championship game. We'll talk a little bit about the transfer portal out of quarterbacks in there. As we mentioned yesterday before the end of the show, DJ Uiagalelei is leaving Oregon State after 1 year. Great. And UCLA quarterback Dante Moore put himself into the transfer portal. And here's a guy who originally was committed to Oregon, and he flipped to UCLA last year. But what happened is Ethan Garbers took over, and Moore never started again. And Ethan Garbers did a really good job until he got to the Cal game. Then he got hurt in the Cal game. Moore came in, struggled.
This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Sponsored by Brewers Outlet. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to have you with us on the show today, brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, the best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drinks, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. Six great flavors of slushies. And the pickle bar, led by the barrels and the dills, my two favorites, indeed second to none. It's all at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. And we're in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. When Florida State plays Louisville tomorrow night, Todd Rademacher will be the starting quarterback because Jordan Travis, after really a gruesome injury, is out for the year. And Tate Rademacher was the first think I said it was Todd. It's Tate Rodemaker was the first recruit for Mike Norvell, but it happened during COVID, so there was no contact or anything like that with people. He committed, though. And he's waited his turn. And now he's the guy that gets to lead them in the championship game against Louisville. Now, Jordan Travis, who's a terrific player, wrote to Rodemaker on Instagram, "It's your time, my boys, so ready to see you shine and show the world who you are." And that's the kind of support you love to see when you're on a team. It's interesting with Jordan Travis because during the lean years, he was also their quarterback, and he made mistakes. And they got booed a lot at Doak Campbell Stadium. Now it's like, oh, he's our guy. He's your guy. Your guy when you were booing him? Oh, we were booing the coaches. I always loved that. We were booing the guys. Sure you were. Yeah, okay. Yeah, I got it. But that always baffled him. I'm talking about Jordan Travis. And there's always that, quote, love-hate relationship that some fans have with teams. And in the early days, the home crowd booed Jordan Travis. And I mean, Travis said, he says, look, it's tough, especially for a college kid. It's definitely not easy, but it makes you stronger, and I'm grateful for that part. But he took a beating from the fans down there. Oh, now, of course. Love him. I mean, do you think he's sitting there going, oh, yeah, it's all, it's like, he's, you know, believe me, he doesn't forget. Why should he forget? But he will be watching, and Tate Rodemaker will be the one at quarterback tomorrow night. Moving forward, there'll be a 12-team playoff. Which I think years down the line eventually gets to 16. But next year and the year after will be 12. And then we'll see what decisions they make after that. There will be a change when the change happens this month, next month, February, whatever. The change is going to be simple. They cannot go forward with the six highest ranked conference champions and six at large. Not with the situation with only two teams left in the Pac-12 conference. Can't do that. It's going to have to be the five highest-ranked conference champions and seven at-large. Which I think in the end will be the change they make. So let's examine that for a moment. The vast majority, if not all, the at-large, there's a possibility will come out of the Big Ten and the SEC. You could get three at-larges out of the Big Ten, meaning four schools would make it because a conference champion would be in. You could get four or five out of the SEC. Same story, conference champion being one, and then three or four at-large bids. Now, why do I say that? Well, let's look at what happened in conference realignment. Are you going to tell me that the ACC got better with the addition of Stanford, Cal, and SMU? Anybody? Show of hands. Did they get better? No, they did not. The conference, in fact, got worse. They actually, by adding those three schools, step back. I mean, the conference got worse by adding them. SMU will be a middle to lower pack team. Cal and Stanford will be at the bottom. It's the way it is. I know Cal beat UCLA 33-7. I know that. I just talked about that in the previous segment. Big 12. Are you going to tell me that Texas and Oklahoma exit and that Arizona, Arizona State, Utah, and Colorado make up for it? Show of hands. Doesn't mean Arizona's not a good team. I know how good Utah is. Kyle Whittingham. And they're going to get Cam Rising back for, believe it or not, a 7th year next year. But are they better? Is there a second team? Oh, we'll have to see how it plays out. Is there a second team beyond the conference champion that would be worthy of the college football playoff? Kansas, Kansas State, Iowa State, Texas Tech, Baylor, Oklahoma State, Houston, UCF, Cincinnati, BYU, Arizona, Arizona State, Utah, and Colorado. Is there realistically a second team in there that's college football playoff worthy? Now, based on competition, they may rack up impressive records, depending on who they play non-conference. But I don't see it. The Big 12 did not get better. Now, the Big 12 did a better job of stabilizing the conference, bringing good programs. Utah, obviously, is a really good program. I had a chance to be around their people, their coaches, everything last year at the Rose Bowl. Quality people, do it right, well-coached. Rising is a tough-as-nails player. Colorado's struggling. This is not going to be something where this is not Monday morning quarterbacking in Colorado. Play back any tape of the show back in July and August. Play it back. Go back to the podcast. Listen to it. That by mid-October, Colorado was going to be in a position where the the luster was going to wear off. Just was going to be that way. Just because of the schedule and because they just didn't have enough in the trenches. Nothing to do with Shador is really good. Shiloh's really good. Hunter's tremendous. Right? So it's not an issue with the star players on the team. It's not an issue with the coaches. And I believe I said in September when they were winning that, quote, I gave Deion Sanders and his staff a lot of credit for working around their deficiencies and masking them to make them, to help them win games or be competitive in a couple of games. But at some point, as I went on to say, the people get tape and they see your deficiencies. And then they just start attacking them relentlessly. And that's what happened with Colorado. And they're in the same spot. Colorado is in the same spot because they don't have enough in the trenches. And right now, they also have some people that are like not so sure they're going to commit anymore. So they're in an interesting position. But did the Big 12 get better? No, but they did the best job. The Big 12 did the best job of stabilizing the conference and keeping the conference alive. They get an A plus for doing that. They get an A plus for doing that. but they also have a C-plus in terms of who they actually have in the conference. So to me, the ACC got worse with their additions. They're not better than they were. They're the same, but actually now worse. In the Big 12, you can't lose Texas and Oklahoma and claim you're better. You aren't. Just aren't. And that's why when I look at next year, you see the potential. Right now it's 6-6. It's going to be 5-7. They'll make the change. They really don't have much of a choice. They have to make the change. Because of that, I firmly believe that those other seven spots, six of the seven are going to be SEC Big Ten teams, and maybe all seven will be SEC and Big Ten teams. And that's what you have when you have a power conference. And to get through the Big Ten and to get through the SEC is going to be a gauntlet. Yeah, who knows what the combination of schedules happen to be in the SEC. Georgia actually is going to play a game at Texas A&M next year. First time ever. Hey, great. 13 years in the conference. They finally get to go to College Station. Really? Who put this together? This has always been my problem with the SEC. How they are covered. We are the SEC, blah, 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 blah. Oh, cut me a break. Okay? You play Tennessee Chattanooga the next to last week of the season. I'm supposed to be impressed by your clever scheduling? Really? Till Alabama went to Texas last year, they had not played a true road game in the non-conference since coming to Penn State in 2011. I mean, let's not let the facts get in the way of an adorable story. Georgia? Going to play Texas A&M for the first time next year in College Station. They've been in the conference 13 years. Never have gone there. Oh, really? Oh, who put that together? And they never get called out. And they're never going to get called out. Why won't they get called out? Because ESPN is now squarely in financial bed with them. They'll never call them out, even though they should be called out. You play eight conference games. You got certain teams that never play each other. And you, for the most part, put together non-conference schedules that you sit back and go, really? That's nice. But we're the SEC. Oh, good for you. Imagine if Alabama beats Georgia tomorrow and Florida State and Michigan both win. There's a possibility there's no SEC team in. Michigan, Oregon, Florida State, and Texas. I'm sure there would be some excuse to figure it out. But again, going forward, Big 12 gets an A for stabilization and bring in some very good programs. But are they better without Texas and Oklahoma? No. The ACC added SMU, Cal, and Stanford. Really? They got worse. The SEC got better, added Texas and Oklahoma. Wow, gauntlet. Big Ten added USC, UCLA, Washington, Oregon. Gauntlet to go with the quality teams you already have in it. All right, we'll take a break. Come back with more in a moment. Brought to you by Brewers Outlet here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. All right, it's official. Andy Koltunicki is the offensive coordinator at Penn State. They've made the announcement. And Kansas have won 16 games in 9 years. Guess what? They've won 16 games the last three. Amazing. So he comes here. Big plays? Oh, yeah. Lots and lots of big plays. Brings a great resume. To the table, and a great reputation, whether it's Whitewater, Buffalo, here, Western Illinois before that. So. Great to have, I think this has a chance to be a great addition for Penn State. I just like his style. And I'm really going off what I watched on tape with the games I watched. I did not sit there and pull up a Kansas tape this week and look at it. I've been a little busier than that. But when you're talking about having to go through two quarterbacks, Jalen Daniels is really good. He's really good. But he only played in three games this year. I mean, that was it. The rest of the time, they went with Jason Bean. And Bean performed well for him. And Devin Neal, 6.6 yards a carry. They were eighth in the nation in yards per play, 7.01. Yards per rush, 5.51. And explosive play percentage, 17.23. They're also efficient. Kansas was eighth in the country in plays at 10 yards or better and 20 yards or better. They were 11th in the nation in plays of 40 yards per better and 15th, 30 yards or better. They were eighth in the country in pass plays of 15 yards or better, and 17th in runs of 12 yards or better. Last year, they averaged a school record 7 yards per play. They were second behind only Ohio State last year. He loves the big plays. Loves to dial them up. And then when he was at Buffalo, he had Meeks and Patterson, the two running backs, especially Jarrett Patterson, went on to the NFL. Jarrett Patterson was a heck of a player. And Meeks, the other running back, I really liked. So he's coached a couple times in Beaver Stadium. And he was also at Whitewater with Lance Leipold when he won a couple of national championships. They were 30-0 the 2 years he was there. But then Whitewater did that to everybody when Lance was there. I remember when Lance took the Buffalo job, and we've had him on the show. Leipold, I mean, you went, hey, yeah, I'll do the show. I'm like, really? Okay. And it was great when he had him on the show. I was like, just a little, you don't usually get a yes from a head coach the week of the game. And we're like, yeah, I'll do it. Great guy. But Andy Kotelnicki is now the offensive coordinator. Now, when it comes to the bowl game, this is what I expect. I expect Andy to be in the position of observer for all of it, with Ty Howell and Jaywan Sider as co-offensive coordinators. That part won't change. When this has happened before, that has been the MO for James Franklin as to how he's gone about it. But Andy Kotelnicki is it's one of those. I feel the same way about him getting hired as I did about when Manny Diaz got hired. I sat back and go, they got Manny Diaz. Getting this guy? As soon as I saw his name come up, I thought, that's an intriguing one.
Your home for news, AccuWeather, and sports. Celebrating 90 years of serving the Susquehanna Valley. We are WKOK Sunbury.